Pentecost do after they were baptized? What did they do? Is it they remained steadfast in prayer? Is it they broke bread together? Is it they continued in the apostles' teaching? Or is it all of these things? What did the 3,000 who heard the gospel message on the day of Pentecost do after being baptized? Remain steadfast in prayer? Broke bread together? Continued in the apostles' teaching? Or is it all of these things? You can find that answer in Acts 2, 41 and 42. And you can also call me your praise report today. I want you to complete this statement. It would be good if blank. Fill in that blank with your very own thoughts and, well, I'd like to hear from you.
Call now, 318-484-2500 or toll free, 877-464-2500. The Wade Hampton Show.
We're going to break for 15 minutes for the Pleasant Green Baptist Church, and we'll be back with music from Erica Campbell and Positive in just a few.
The Unstoppable Wade Hampton Show. We'll be back in just a moment.
Greetings, and we welcome you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You tuned in to the Pleasant Green Baptist Church Media Outreach Ministry with our anointed pastor, Reverend Michael H. Grimes. Join him as he preaches the Word of God. This message is already in progress.
Thank you. So I will say thank you, Lord. Is there anybody in the house that can say thank you? Thank you, Lord.
Six, I'm going to read it from the Contemporary English Standard Version. In your hearing, it says when we came ashore, we learned that this island was called Malta. The local people were very friendly, and they welcomed us by building a fire because it was raining and it was cold. After Paul had gathered a bundle of wood and put it on the fire, the heat caused a snake to crawl out, and it bit Paul on the hand. When the local people saw the snake hanging from Paul's hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer. He didn't drown in the sea, but the goddess of justice will kill him anyway." Verse 5 says, Paul shook the snake off into the fire, and it wasn't harmed. The people kept thinking that Paul would either swell up or suddenly drop dead. They watched him for a while, and when nothing happened to Paul, they changed their minds and said Paul was a god. That's what the five faithful waver lives shall stand forever. Just for a few minutes, I want to preach about it didn't kill me. It didn't kill me. Oh my. It didn't kill me. Brothers and sisters, one of the physical features that we commonly admire about each other, for those that possess this beauty, is this thing called dimples. Men and women are subject, and men and women are prone to having these dimples. Most people who see dimples in somebody typically view those attributes as something admirable, something that complements the smile, something that adds beauty to their countenance, something that is unique to any human being that has dimples. Some dimples are deep, some dimples are high, some dimples are low. In any context, a man or a woman with dimples will be complimented. Why? By their dimples. Y'all roll with me. I'm going somewhere with this. On the flip side, ladies and gentlemen, from a medical standpoint, a dimple is literally a deformity. It is a medical vernacular called fovea buccalis. It is a deformity in the muscles, tissues, which grow irregular, therefore causing these pits, these dents in the skin, which actually is a hollow place on the opposite side of the dimple. Brothers and sisters, what I am saying parenthetically is that it is really a deformity, but it possesses beauty. From an exterior standpoint, it can become an attractive or an additive to beauty, but from an interior standpoint, it's not supposed to be there. It is a physical deformity in the face, the chin, or any place of the body. This morning, my brothers and sisters, parenthetically, people sometimes inform us that there may be some things right about us that some may believe to be wrong about us. That there might be some things that is beautiful in our lives, that is admirable in our lives. But behind the beauty, there rests this sense of deformity. What I'm really trying to get to this morning is that what really looks wrong with you is sometimes God can really use that thing to bring out the beauty in your life. God can use what appears to be defective and deformed to do something that is distinguishable. I wish I had a witness in here. But brothers and sisters, whatever you're going through, God has a way of taking the deformity out of your experience. Those things that look publicly deformed, and he would allow, amen, the deformity to produce beauty in your life. If you hang in there. Such is the discipline discovered in this discourse. When we look at verse 1 of chapter 28, we have to have a sense or some knowledge of what happened previously in 27. Chapter 7, 27, my brothers and sisters, Paul is on a ship with 275 people. Amen. 275 people. They are prisoners heading from Jerusalem to Rome to stand before the government. And in the midst of Paul's journey, amen, on this Mediterranean Sea, my brothers and sisters, there arose a storm on the sea. But I'm so glad this morning, amen, that God is a good God. Because even though there is a storm on the sea, there can be a Savior on the shore. My brothers and sisters, no matter what you're going through in life, God can be with you on the sea and on the shore. My brothers and sisters, an angel, God sent an angel to speak to Paul in chapter 27. When you have some time in your leisure, you can go back and read it. And God sent an angel to Paul on a sinking ship to remind Paul that he called him